Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Nathan. It is unbelievable just how much life has changed in the past few days for most of us in ways that very few of us ever would have guessed, even, say, 2 weeks ago. We would never have guessed how different life would be. And I just want to encourage you during these really troubling and difficult times to keep leaning on God. Let's take advantage of the time that we've been given to rest, to pray, to spend time in the Word, to spend time with our families, just to keep trusting in God because He's totally reliable, He's totally dependable, He's in control, and He loves us, He's good, so we can keep trusting Him. I also want to keep encouraging you to stay in touch with each other. Think of people, especially in our fellowship, who might be alone or who might be struggling, and reach out. Let's stay together as we stay apart. And the last thing I want to just mention before I jump into the message is if you have a need that the church can meet, or if you know of somebody in our fellowship who has a need, if you could please let me know. We want to do what we can to make sure everybody's needs are getting met during this time. Let's pray together, and then we'll look at God's Word together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it's true, and we pray that You would speak to us right now through it. We pray that You would open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear, and mostly we pray that You'd give us faith to believe it and to obey it, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The text on which the teaching is based is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. If you have a Bible handy, you can grab that and follow along. In this letter, the Apostle Peter is addressing believers in Christ. He's talking to, writing to a group of churches in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. And these are people who are suffering, and they're about to suffer more. He writes that they are facing various trials. And as I mentioned last week, the specific trial that they're facing is religious persecution. They are being rejected by family and friends and the general society because they are believers in Christ. And the persecution is about to get worse. It's about to become government-sponsored persecution. Some of them will lose their jobs or their homes or even their lives. The kind of suffering that we're facing is quite different, the coronavirus epidemic, but it's one of the various trials that Christians face, and in this case, it's not just Christians. The whole world is facing this trial. Part of what Peter does in this letter is to give the believers in Christ a perspective on their suffering so that they can go through it, so that they can face it with confidence and even joy. And that's what we want to do too. We want to be able to face the suffering with confidence and joy. And I want to share with you 3 points about suffering from this text that that Peter makes that gives us the perspective we need so we can face the situation we're in right now with confidence and joy. So let me read the text and then we'll look at those 3 points. This is 1 Peter 1. Starting at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, even though now, for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which, though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though not seeing him now, you believe in him, and you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is God's word. The first point that I want to draw out that Peter makes about suffering has to do with how long suffering will last. And the big question that everybody's asking right now about the COVID-19 epidemic is, how long will it last? Will it last a few more days, a few more weeks? Will it go on for months? Will it go on for years? Will it be around forever? If you look at verse 6, 1 Peter 1, Peter says that he writes that these people will suffer various trials for a short time, that their suffering is for a little while, just a little while. Now, the suffering that the readers faced was not short term in the way that we typically think about a short term. It only grew worse over the course of their lifetimes. But if you look at the period of suffering with a wide-angle lens from the perspective of eternity, it's just a blip in the course of history. It's just a blip in time. Their suffering was temporary, and their future was bright because they have an inheritance. Peter's readers have a beautiful future to look forward to. So one day Jesus will return, the dead will be raised, God's people will live with him forever and ever in the new heavens and the new earth, with no more pain or sickness or sadness or evil or suffering or death. And there's nothing that could ever mess that up. Their inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It's not like that jar of spaghetti that you get out of the fridge and you open it up and you look in there and it's covered in mold. It's an imperishable inheritance. Their future is totally secure. They can count on it. Unfortunately, because of this coronavirus epidemic, my son's basketball tournament, which he had been looking forward to for, days and days, was canceled. And that was a really sad thing. But you know what can't be canceled? Your inheritance. Your inheritance in heaven. Your reservation is totally secure. One time I booked a flight and I showed up in the airport at the counter, and the person at the desk told me that my reservation was no good because the airline that I booked the ticket with had gone out of business. Our reservation for heaven will never be canceled because it doesn't depend on people. It depends on the power of God. God has got it. It's totally secure. God proved his power to us when he raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus' suffering was temporary, and now it's over. He's alive again. And the same is going to be true for us. Our future is totally secure. So the trials that we're facing today are also temporary. We don't know how long this epidemic will last. It might be a short time or it might be a long time. But even after it's over, we know that there will be more trials and more suffering after that. I mean, it's going to go on through our whole lives. There's going to be some kind of suffering until Jesus comes back. But then it's going to be over. The suffering is temporary. It's going to end one day when Jesus comes back. We worry because this epidemic has messed up our plans. It's messed up our future, we think. But it hasn't touched our inheritance at all. Our inheritance, life with God forever and ever, is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, guarded in heaven for us. God hasn't been slowed down one second because of this epidemic. His plan hasn't gone off course even one degree. So that's the first point about suffering, is that it's temporary. And the second point is that suffering has a purpose. And let me look back at verse 6. Peter writes, "You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which, though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So he says that suffering is a trial. It's a trial. It's a test. It's a test that proves whether or not our faith is real. He compares our faith to gold, to pure gold. The gold has to go through the refiner's fire, and all the impurities are burned away, and what comes out is pure and bright, 24 carats, genuine, true gold. In one of his parables, Jesus says that some people are like rocky soil. They receive the seed of God's word, and a plant springs up quickly. But when the hot sun comes out and shines, the hot sun is the trials and the tribulations, then the plant shrivels up and it dies. So the faith of those people wasn't the real deal. On the other hand, for those people who truly believe, for us who truly believe, as the trials come, God preserves our faith, and we keep trusting him through it. And we can praise God because we know it's the real deal. And then when Jesus comes back, he'll say to us, "Well done, you trusted me." And we'll give all the praise and glory and honor back to him. This epidemic is a trial for us. Our routine is disrupted. And for some people are laid off. And money is tight. For some people, we're loaded down with more responsibilities than usual. And when the news gets stressful, and when we can't see the people who usually support us and encourage us, we have to rely on the Lord more than ever. And when we face the possibility of getting sick, or people we love getting sick, then we really need to count on the hope of the resurrection more than ever. I've been looking for specific ways that God is trying to use this epidemic in my life. What is he trying to do right now? Is he trying to give me more rest? Is he trying to give me more time with family? Is he trying to teach me something, to change some habits, or help me to think in a different way, or approach life or ministry or other people in a different way? I've been trying to think through those things. What is God doing here? And it's good to look for those things, to look for specific ways that God uses specific trials. But what we see here, what Peter's talking about, is that God uses all of the various trials that we face to test our faith and then prove that our faith is genuine, that it's the real deal, as we hold on to God through all the suffering, through all the trials, through all the troubles, as we hold on to God, and then as we rely on Him, we can say, this was the real deal. This is true. This is genuine. Our faith is real. So we've seen that suffering is temporary, and that suffering has a purpose. And now the third point that I want to draw out is that suffering does not define us. Let me read again, starting in verse 8. Peter writes, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though not seeing Him now, you believe in Him, Him being Jesus. And you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. These people aren't defined by their circumstances. If they were, they'd be really somber or anxious or panicked. But instead, these people are full of joy. They're rejoicing. Why are they rejoicing in the middle of all this suffering? They're not defined by their circumstances. They're not defined by their suffering. They're defined by their relationship with Jesus. They've never seen Him, but they love Him. And you can think of Peter, who had seen Him and knew what it was like to be in the presence of Jesus, and had just experienced that love. And he's looking at these people in these churches who've never seen Jesus and still love Him, and Peter's just wowed by it. They've never seen Him, but they love Him. They know that Jesus loves them. They know that Jesus will come back and save them from sin and death and hell and Satan and sadness and disease and pain, all of it, at the resurrection. So they have a living hope. Their confidence is alive because Jesus is alive. And that gives them joy, great joy. They aren't pretending that their circumstances aren't bad, but they can rejoice because they have a beautiful future. And even now, they have a beautiful relationship with Jesus. So let's remember that our trials do not define us. The coronavirus does not define us. You are not defined by COVID-19. You are defined by your relationship with Jesus. We have a beautiful, strong, powerful Savior. And no matter what happens, we can trust in Him and we can have joy. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You just for this perspective that we can have, that suffering is temporary and the future that You've promised us is really good and we can count on it. We know it's true because You raised Jesus from the dead and You'll raise us too. We pray that we would know this joy that Peter's writing about, that we would experience it, that we'd have it through all the things that we go through. We thank You that we can count on You to guard us through this time, to guard us for the salvation that You've promised. And so we thank You for what You're going to do. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.